Well, open your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, and we're going to be in the book of Exodus for really the course of the summer. We're going to be in chapters 19 and 20, and we're going to be covering the Ten Commandments. Many of you know that the Ten Commandments have been in the news a lot recently because there's constantly a debate about whether or not the Ten Commandments can be placed inside of schools. Texas just recently passed a law that all schools, all classrooms, have to have a display of the Ten Commandments. Now, I guarantee you that's going to go, it's going to be wrestled over, it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court again, and if you're old like I am, you know that that is an old debate. Let me take you back to 1980, the United States Supreme Court debated or heard the case for Stone versus Grimm, and in a 5-4 decision, they made the decision at that time that the school children of Kentucky should not be assaulted by the Ten Commandments that are on the wall of the classroom. The court's decision was made, and the rationale was listed in their brief, and I've got what their rationale is. Here it says this: if the post of the copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps venerate, and obey the Ten Commandments. However desirable this may be as a matter of private devotion, it is not a permissible state object under the Establishment Clause. And so the Supreme Court, in a word, said, we dare not put up the Ten Commandments because the children might obey them. That's kind of the rationale of this. And America's highest court made that decision that although the Ten Commandments have been the main course of morality in the Western world, they were documents of great influence, but apparently it's not the influence that we want. Some of you are asking right now, well, where are the Ten Commandments displayed publicly? And in fact, Pastor, I would love to know the largest Ten Commandments display in the world. I'm glad you've asked that. It is in North Carolina, and the largest Ten Commandments are listed right here, Murphy, North Carolina. And by the way, that is 300 feet wide, so that's a football field wide. There are 350 stairs that you have to climb to get to the top of it. Those Ten Commandments were built in 1945, and they have been there ever since, and that is the largest display of the Ten Commandments anywhere in the world. Whether or not you think that the Ten Commandments are suitable for school children or not, we need to take seriously that this is part of God's word for us. In fact, it's part of the law that was given, the cornerstone, really, of the law in the Old Testament. And we, unfortunately, have neglected them. And I will have more to say about that in a moment. I want you to fill in the blank for a moment. I don't want you to say this out loud, but just say this in your mind. Here we go. Thou shalt not. All right. So yeah, I heard a couple people say it. Or maybe you said something like, thou shalt not murder, or thou shalt not steal. Just the mere words of thou shalt not evoke likely in your minds one of the Ten Commandments. And it's likely that you chose something from the second half. The first half of the commandments deal with our relationship with God, how we are to honor Him, how we're to relate to Him. And the second half deal with how we are to relate to each other. And my hunch is you probably chose one of the avenues of how we are to treat one another. It's interesting that there are tablets of stone that are given, and these tablets of stone have made their way into so many aspects of public life. Now, I'm not going to press you right now, but I wonder if you could name all of the Ten Commandments. My hunch is that many of us would make our way through quite a long list of them, but maybe not all of them. And if those that take surveys are right, then about 15% of American Christians can name all 10 of the Ten Commandments. You know, in a room this size, that's probably about 30 of us, but you know, we're an exceptional group. So there's probably maybe 50 of us that can actually do that. Now, again, that's just stating that, again, the Ten Commandments are something that is iconic, but they've kind of fallen out of vogue. They're not something that are appealing, and not necessarily even to Christians today, not to where we would even know all of the Ten Commandments. I hope to change that over the course of time, over the course of this summer, and I hope to significantly increase the number of people in this church who know the Ten Commandments. We're going to start off very simply today. I would like to read the Ten Commandments. It's going to be found in Exodus chapter 20. By the way, Ten Commandments found in two spots in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20 is the first time they were given, and then they're repeated again in Deuteronomy as there's another generation of Israelites that need to hear them. So here it is. We are picking up the first instance, Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And God spoke these words, saying, and by the way, I've got that on the screen behind me, so in case you want the shorthand of all the Ten Commandments, they're listed there, but I'm reading it just as the Scriptures read it. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, and I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on their children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. By now you have noticed, because Daniel even alluded to it, we have copies of the original Ten Commandments here today. Well, maybe not the original ones. I want to thank Izzy Luke. She is studying theater design, and Izzy helped me create this example of, wow, the Ten Commandments. I want you to notice something as we look at these. The Ten Commandments originally in Hebrew. And why did God do that? Because that's the language his people spoke. And so, originally in Hebrew, I have given them to you in English so that you can actually read them, because most of us would struggle to make any sense of that at all. I want you to notice that there is writing on both sides. And as a matter of fact, I want to show you the verse where God even says that the stone tablets had writing on both sides. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. And so we know that, again, the Ten Commandments had the writing on both sides. They were obviously all in Hebrew. And again, I'm going to be referring back to those over the course of this summer as we make our way through. Here's what I need for you to also understand. The Ten Commandments were not originally in stone first. They were actually just words that God spoke to his people. That's why they were originally called, in Hebrew, the Ten Words. Because God spoke them before they were inscribed on stone. Later, as Moses and God got together, the finger of God inscribes the Ten Commandments onto the stones, and Moses brings them down off of the mountain. But the first way it comes out is God speaks to his people. They are parked inside of a holy box that we call the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is what the Israelites took around with them to show the presence of God. And they put that inside of their tabernacle. So I have a picture of what the tabernacle might have looked like. And you'll notice that inside that tabernacle is the Ten Commandments. There's also manna and the budding rod of Aaron or staff of Aaron. And those all are indications or objects from their sojourn in the wilderness after they left Egypt. And this is all commemorating how God is caring for his people while they are in the desert on the way to the promised land. The Ten Commandments are quite important for Christians. And they're important for Christians because they reveal things to us that are important for us to know. Today I want to talk to you about three things that the Ten Commandments reveal that are important for all of us. Number one, the first thing that the Ten Commandments reveal is the heart of God. And when I say the heart of God, I mean the character of God, or perhaps the nature of God, or the things that God really values. That's what's being revealed inside of the Ten Commandments. Now, it might surprise you that the Ten Commandments are revealed to Israel in a rather dramatic fashion. I don't know why, but I just imagined as I thought, how are the Ten Commandments coming to the Israelites? I thought, well, you know, Moses comes down off the mountain. He's probably got the stone tablets. And he's saying, hey, we'll let you know. This is what God has for you. And, you know, there's just kind of a back and forth like, oh, hey, tell us more. That is not the way it happened, all right? And you are going to be surprised when you find out just how the Ten Commandments were communicated to the Israelites. I am picking up in verse 16 of chapter 19. And this is the way it is written. Exodus 19 in verse 16. It says, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. So all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like smoke in a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And at the sound of the trumpet, as it grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up on Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and come up and bring Aaron with you, and do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people, and he told them. So this is the environment in which God speaks the Ten Commandments out of this thundercloud. There is smoke billowing from the mountain. People can't get very close to it. The earth is shaking under their feet, and there's lightning and cracks of thunder. And God, in the midst of that, is speaking the Ten Commandments to his people. And if there's anything that it's communicating to us, it is that God is holy. Holy in the Bible means set apart. God is set apart. God is different. God is God. We are not. And so the Bible is constantly making this point that God is somebody who's, yes, a bit dangerous even, and God is giving them a full dose of his glory and of his holiness on Mount Sinai. But the Ten Commandments are not just warning shots across the bow. No, they reveal the heart of God because they reveal his hopes for us. They reveal his dreams for us. He is, in essence, saying in the Ten Commandments, you want a good life? You want the best life? This is the best life I could imagine for you, and it's encapsulated right here. Now, before you dismiss that, I want you to think about something just for a moment. If you lived in a world in which there was no murder, if you lived in a world in which there was no lying, if you lived in a world in which there was no stealing, that would be a pretty amazing world to live in. And God says, as I envision my heart for my creation, that's what I envision. I envision this place in which it's rather a great place to live. It would be the best of human flourishing in that environment, not tainted by anything that's dark. It's pure, it's holy, it's following after me. The Ten Commandments, therefore, reveals to us the heart of God because it reveals to us how he is, but how he wants the world to be, how he wants our lives to be. But it doesn't stop there. The Ten Commandments also reveals the heart of man. And specifically, it reveals the heart of man as human rebellion. We don't like to have other people tell us what to do. That's a rather no-no for us. I don't want people trying to tell me what's right or wrong. I want to determine that for myself in today's world. And I have an example for that. Kids are playing on the playground, and they're beginning to, you know, get into games or whatever they're doing. And one kid says to the other, "You're not the boss of me." And that's exactly our hearts. Our hearts are, "You're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what's right or wrong." And so we are individuals who have a little aversion to anybody who's going to tell us about morality. Somebody says to you, "Don't step on the grass." What's the first thing you want to do? Go step on the grass, right? Because that is just something that is on the inside of us. The Ten Commandments offer a mirror about our actions. They tell us how we look. They tell us when we step out of bounds. But the problem is we don't want to hear that. We don't want to feel restricted. We don't want to feel as though there's a policeman like the Ten Commandments that's breathing down our neck. And so we have aversion to basically those kinds of things that corral us in that way. But the Ten Commandments, like all of the law, are acting like a tutor because they're telling us, you know instinctively, you can't do this. You cannot accomplish this. There's something reflexively on the inside as we even read the Ten Commandments and we say, I think I've come up a little short. In fact, you might be even looking at the Ten Commandments right now on this list or the we just read, and you're like, well, you know, hey, I didn't murder anybody. I'm okay there. But did I ever lie to anybody? Well, I think I did. Did I ever steal from anybody? Yes, I think I might have. Did I ever say some really cross words to somebody? Yeah, I think I'm guilty of that. And so reflexively on the inside, we know that it is something that is telling us we have not accomplished what God wants for us. But the truth is today, we don't have any more categories of sin that are in our daily speech. That's kind of being purged from our speech. It's being purged from our ideas. And David Brooks is one of the favorite syndicated columnists that I follow. And this is what David Brooks says. He says, sometime over the past generation, we became less likely to object to something because it's immoral and more likely to object to something because it's unhealthy or unsafe. So smoking is now a worse evil than six of the Ten Commandments. And the word sinful is most commonly associated with chocolate. And there's a lot of truth in that. We don't talk about sin in categories anymore of what's right and wrong. And so therefore, the Ten Commandments just look like it's this thing off to the side because, you know, really, it's just now a matter of what's healthy for me or what's unsafe for me. That's what's the new mantra of what is right or wrong in my life. We don't want the Ten Commandments to pressure us, and so therefore we are mostly ignorant of the Ten Commandments. Fewer and fewer churches are using the Ten Commandments as any part of their worship service. Few of them display the Ten Commandments. I know we don't. And so again, there's this idea that they're passé, that they're last year. I was surprised to discover this week that in previous decades, every church member was memorizing the Ten Commandments. In fact, you would have children that could be called upon on the moment's notice to come up and recite the Ten Commandments. Now, again, I'm not arguing that we go back to that, but I am telling you, in previous generations, the Ten Commandments were considered a key part of a Christian's catechism, a key part of their own development spiritually. How far we have fallen. Did you know that twice as many American Christians can name the seven ingredients in a Big Mac as compared to naming all 10 of the Ten Commandments? And so you're running through your mind right now, two all beef patty special sauce. You're going through that, and you go like, yep, I got seven. But we know the Big Mac better than we know the iconic piece of all of the law that's in the Old Testament. And we have managed to kind of weld that into our memory, but the Ten Commandments, not so much. And so we have predominantly neglected them. And we, maybe that's one of the things that's the strongest revealers of our heart, is that we've just neglected the Ten Commandments. And in doing so, we have said to God, basically, God, I know what's best, and I don't really want to hear from you much about that. But simply posting the Ten Commandments does not mean that they're going to be done. So let's pretend for a moment that the Ten Commandments did get posted in schools. Do we think that's going to turn children automatically into angels? I don't know about that. There was a study done in 2014 after the Food and Drug Administration said that all foods in fast food restaurants had to be labeled with their calorie count. And so in 2014, they made this ruling that said all pizza parlors, all theaters, all grocery stores, all chain restaurants had to show the calorie count of their meals. And you know, the idea behind that's a really good one. If people can see the calorie count, they know that the hamburger's 800 calories, the chicken 500 calories, maybe they'll choose the chicken, and that's a healthier choice option. In fact, people overwhelmingly said, we want this kind of labeling. 75% of Americans say they love labeling. When it was first rolled out in New York years ago, 84% of people said, oh, we love labeling, and we find that very handy, very convenient for us. But there's an underlying problem. After that all happened, there were 31 individual studies done on what the effects were of labeling menus or labeling food with calories and the effect upon people. And here is unanimously what the 31 studies said. It had no effect upon people's ordering. Oh, yes, I love the labeling. I want that. Come on, give that to me. That's the perfect thing. But it has no effect upon what I choose when I'm going to a restaurant to eat. Maybe I'm just like, I'm just here to get what I want. I don't really much care about the calories at this point. But what we think will happen with the labeling and what actually happens is two different things. The Ten Commandments maybe act like that. And they tell us, oh, sure, they're going to tell us, you've stepped out of bounds. You've done wrong. But do they have the power in order to actually change behavior, to change action? Probably not. They're just revealing something about us. Which brings us to the third thing that the Ten Commandments reveal. The Ten Commandments reveal our need for grace. Because the Ten Commandments keep telling us, there you go again. You've stepped out of bounds. There you go. You're wrong. And they keep telling us that. And they keep nagging on us in that way. You know that there's electronic speed signs that are in certain neighborhoods, and you come down the road, and all of a sudden the light flashes a digital signature and says 34 miles an hour. And you're like, how can I be going 34 miles an hour? And you immediately take your foot off the accelerator. And it's just telling you, there you go again, 34 miles an hour, there you go. You're breaking the speed limit, and you practically don't even mean to, but you're doing that. And that is the law. It's telling us, there you go again. And the problem is that we all have fallen short. We all break the law, and something radical has to be done. Because we cannot come before God if we are these individuals that are continual lawbreakers. God says, no, I'm holy. I'm set apart, and I need some holiness in my presence. And so we all got a big problem because we are continual lawbreakers. And so God says, I'm going to devise a different plan. And the plan is going to be based not upon your ability to keep the law, not upon your ability to read the Ten Commandments and say, I've done them perfectly. No, because you haven't. And so God says, I'm going to devise a different plan. And the different plan is a radical plan. And it's one in which God says it's not based upon your ability to keep the law, but it's based upon Christ's ability to keep the law. And so God is saying, I'm sending my son, who, by the way, can perfectly keep every one of those. And now he is going to live that perfect life, and he is going to give his life for you so that his righteousness is transferred to you. So that God looks at you and says, wow, I look at you, and it's as if you kept all the law because Christ has, and he's covering you. And so that's God's radical plan. And that's what the Ten Commandments are so good at revealing for us, is that we can't do it, and so we need help to do it. And we're really ready for Christ at that moment of our lives. I'm always amazed at the number of people who say, you know, I'm willing to stand before God on my own record. Really? You're ready to do that? You're ready to just go say, oh, yeah, God, just look over the course of my whole life, and I'm for sure you'll find no error there. I mean, that's just a bold statement all by itself, because the scriptures say those who believe that salvation is by the law will be judged by the law and by all the penalties that go with it. I don't want that, and I don't think you do either. There's a father who was out on the prairie with his daughter, and they were looking at the expanse of all that open land in the Midwest, and off in the distance they could see that a fire was rushing across the prairie, and here they were standing in the way of it. They're like, there's no way we're going to outrun this thing. We've got a long ways to go to get back to the house, and it's coming on our way. So the dad said, let's do something, and he said, let's light a fire right here, and let's let it burn around us. And they did. They let it burn right around them. And then they came and they stood in the middle of the burned spot. And the moment that the fire came, it kind of just it went right around them in the spot that they had burned. And so they are standing right there in this spot that literally saved them because it was burned over. If you're an unsaved person, you have not trusted in Jesus, and you're standing on your own record, then you're saying to God, God, I don't need no burned out section. I'll just stand on my own in the middle of that field, and you are going to get burned because God is a consuming fire. And the scriptures say it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if you stand on the burned ground, that's the place where it symbolizes Christ, and you're saying, I need grace. I accept this way to get to heaven, not by my perfect record, but by the perfect record given to me by Christ. And that is the covenant of grace as compared to the covenant of law. Grace is accomplishing what law never could. And law is constantly pointing us to our need for grace. And that's where the Ten Commandments are coming to us again and again. They're telling us you can't do it, but they're telling us there's open arms of Jesus right over here. And so he's pushing us into the open arms of Jesus. There's something I aspire for all of us in the course of this summer. I have now got a bookmark that's going to be handed out to you. And of all things, that bookmark is the Ten Commandments. If my helpers would go ahead and distribute those in the sections around you, that would be helpful. And so my desire is for us this summer, maybe, by the way, you'll keep this in your Bible, or you'll keep this on your mirror, or you'll keep this in your car, somewhere handy where you'll see it very regularly. And my desire is for us to memorize the Ten Commandments together this summer. Eric, across the street with our children, is also working on that. And so if you have children in the ministry, their chances are good. They are going to come home to you, and they are going to be also memorizing the Ten Commandments. If we memorize just 3 commandments a month, by the course of the end of the summer, we would have them all on lockdown. And of course, we're going to be covering 1 commandment a month for the course of the time. That's 10 more weeks where we're going to be in the Ten Commandments. And you'll have the chance to hear what these commandments actually mean to us today, what they meant to the Hebrews at that time, and what they mean to us today. And so my hope is that we will again come to the end of the summer and we'll say, you know what? We are less ignorant of the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments, we know what they mean, and we know what God's purpose is for them in pushing us into the arms of Christ. The Ten Commandments reveal the pinnacle of all of God's law. They reveal to us His heart, our hearts, and our need for grace. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I'm thinking about individuals with us today that perhaps have said, you know what, I'm not sure I've ever heard that Jesus is coming to live a perfect life that I couldn't live myself. And you know, Lord, I acknowledge there's been plenty of failures in my life, plenty of ways that I've dissatisfied God and even myself. And Jesus now comes with this grace and says, I wish to give you my life, my righteousness that's now covering over you. Can there be a better message? I don't think so. And so, Lord, I'm praying for that individual or those individuals right now that are on the precipice of saying yes to you. Holy Spirit, come, woo, call, convince, beckon, in order that they might come and say yes to the greatest gift ever given to to humanity, Jesus Christ. Lord, for the rest of us, we are looking forward to diving into the series this summer and learning more about what the Ten Commandments really mean and how they are still applicable to our lives all of these years later. We worship you. We follow you today. We do it in Christ's name. Amen.